listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas. Once again, Governor saying essential businesses only open. Here we are on 200 FSR stations across this great nation. Sports bettors listen for the money. And we're still giving picks, early looks at the NFL. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. We're going to have more of that probably for a little while longer. Hopefully it's not too long. He's in L.A. He's our Joe, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got some changes in the NFL, more conversations about quarterbacks looking for work, what is the Vegas lead here on this Tuesday?
I'm going to go NFL, but the word is out that there's significant optimism about this season not only happening in full, but happening on schedule.
Yeah, and that's in a conference call with reporters earlier today. NFL General Counsel Jeff Pasch says that the league's expectation is that the season will start on time and they will have stadiums full of fans.
I mean, that's been my sense. The idea that if Cuban's talking about June 1st as the over-under, and now the debate becomes, well, is it in Vegas? And I think we should talk about that on the show because – I mean, I just love that everyone gets all excited. It's like, oh, it's going to be in Vegas. Love that. I hope it is, though obviously without fans, not the exact same thing, but it should be fascinating if it happens. But obviously, if that happens in June or even July, then the NFL is going to start. So I guess I'm a little confused. And listen, Herb Street, alum from The Ohio State University, as am I. I know him just a little bit. He follows me on Twitter, and Joey Galloway actually grew up one town over from me. I know Joey, and it doesn't change that I think media guys forget sometimes, especially when the mic is on them so much. Right? They're getting paid a lot of money to pontificate, and after a while, I think some of them forget what they're truly experts at. Doesn't mean that they can't have opinions, you know, and anyone has a right to be wrong with their opinions. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on things that I'm not an expert at, but I try to delineate between them. Now, listen, this is the second year I've hosted a show. If I'm, 22 years in, all of a sudden now you're going to feel like everyone wants to hear you on everything. So, Jonas, you've been around a lot of media guys. Do you see that as they get years and years and years into it, that the idea that they have an opinion on everything and it comes out pretty much the same way? Do you see that being something that happens a lot?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it happened, during the last election. There's been a lot of politics that have been brought up from time to time, and I've always viewed this as a way for people to get away from that. I don't know anything about it. It bores me. I don't find it interesting at all. But for some reason, people like to dive into this, and it felt like Kirk Herbstreit dove in with a, proclamation or a projection as to what the future is going to look like when nobody really has a clear definition of what's going to happen moving forward.
No, I agree. And I think right now, based on the way the bet was put together, if you bet me, will the NFL play, at least 14 games and have their full playoffs, I'd say personally, and this is an opinion, a non-expert opinion, but I predict the future based upon the known information. Am I going to predict this as well as an NFL game? Probably not, right? So we'll call this half a professional pick. I would say that we're looking at I got to be honest. I think I'd lay minus 800. I think we're looking at almost 90%. Well, if you just had to say a percentage, and again, amateur guess here, for me and you, what would you guess?
I would guess NFL plays. I would guess 89%.
Oh, this is Price is Right again. I mean, I'm not guessing first anymore.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think if there's – I think the NFL – They sort of lucked into this, like to where all this happened on the calendar. Like if this was 2 months ago, we were in Miami. There were people talking about coronavirus out there. I saw people with masks on their face in the airports there. It was still being discussed, but nowhere near to where it's being discussed now. And that was during the Super Bowl. I mean, this just landed in the NFL's lap, and I think they're going to be good for the season.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, Jonas, we told the audience that we had a new segment coming up. I think we're going to get to this probably in mid-May. It's going to be Jonas's phobia about germs. It's like once a month. You know, since it's only once a month, let's get to it sooner. How has that been for you? Because literally, you say people were talking about the virus at the Super Bowl. I don't know who you were hanging out with, the germ people. I didn't hear much of it, but you come up like a heart surgeon, but it's only with your mic for your little radio stuff, right? And you actually wipe it down, and then you take, because the catch 22 is, well, you just used your hands to clean it, so then you get out another one and wipe your hands down. I mean, how much thought did you give to like exposure? You know, to be candid, I don't know if you've read much about, and I actually just happened to read one biography because he's a Vegas guy, but Howard Hughes, right? Is Howard Hughes was a phobic about germs. His mom told him when he was a kid, like 7 years old, don't go out in the world, son. Those germs are going to get you. And he never recovered. Can you trace the source of your Howard Hughes-esque germophobia?
I worked at a radio station in South Carolina when I first got into radio, and I was always getting sick. And I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. I know it's a new schedule, and I'm getting up early in mornings. And then I realized radio stations are probably filthy. I mean, there's a lot of germs.
Well, most hosts are filthy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of germs that are in a radio station. And so I started making it a point to where I would always have hand sanitizer and I would have disinfectant wipes and I would just clean up before I started.
All right. So here's the question, though. Outside of radio stations and mics, do you have the same routine?
I carried it with me. Yeah, I do. I do with everything.
So
everything.
It has nothing to do. You're saying that's what triggered
it. That was the origin.
But listen, you asked the origin. But here's the question, though. All the places that you do it now, wiping down, wiping off, whatever you're doing, all those places you were engaging with before that you noticed this at the radio station and you were just fine. Why would you then carry it over now to all the new play or all the places that you used to not do it in?
Our work is we use our voice, so I can't get sick. I can't get sick. And so my thought is if I can take a preventative measure to ensure that I increase my odds of not getting sick. And to this day, I've never taken a sick day in radio. I've been doing radio over 10 years. I've never taken a sick day.
Listen, that's impressive. Really. And you were getting sick all the time.
I was. Yeah, wow. When I first started. And then I learned.
So. All right. So I guess the phobia has, usually, remember, Rain Man could count cards. I mean,
yes.
Usually different afflictions have positives and negatives. So, all right. I want to say one more thing about the Herb Street, because I did some reading on it today just to get a feel of how people have been reacting. And Forbes magazine, you know, very respected magazine, they were talking about how Herb Street shared some hard truths. It's like, what? I mean, I'm not saying he couldn't possibly be right. I would bet against it. But hard truths imply that we know the truth. And it dawned on me, like, who was this guy, the author of this article? And it very well could be someone who is freelancing for like literally like $20. I mean, there's like such a modest amount of money paid nowadays for some of these articles online because, you know, they call them the aggregators or Bill Simmons calls them that. But the idea that they take something that's happened and in the most basic way transfer it to the written page, written word on the page, and you got an article for search engine optimization and all that stuff. And they actually have computers now that are starting to be able to do that. They can actually write a recap on a game. They can look at the box score and say, well, who had the most yards? We're going to have eight sentences we use at, you know, various times. It says, well, the leading rusher was the leading pass. And it's like an algorithm that can write these articles to some degree, which is actually kind of sad if that's a job and now it can just be done in, you know, that simple way. But everyone talks about the internet and how much better off we are. And I think in so many ways we are. I mean, just no doubt about that. And the phrase they use is democratize, the idea that there's no gatekeepers anymore. It's a democracy and everyone gets a chance to write. Everyone has their say on Twitter. And again, Twitter's a different story. Everyone has their accounts, whatever. But to write under the Forbes banner or the, you know, whatever big brand's banner. I mean, Jonas, I don't know how much media in print you've done or been around. If you've ever had a story written on you, chances are you now understand why people like Tom Brady, and obviously very different scales here, hate the media. Because there really is a sense that the truth, as long as we're not going to get sued, let's just tell the most interesting story possible. I mean, left and right. Have you had that experience?
I've never had anybody write anything about me because nobody knows who the hell I am. but I used to cover MMA and boxing, and I wrote for free for years and years. They weren't paying anything, but I did it because I wanted the reps and it was fun and it was, you know, another angle and aspect of the business.
And to me, that kind of mentality, I mean, like I wrote for Grantland one season and the amount of money was not worth it, but it was a chance to write for Bill Simmons' website. It was a chance to, and you know, we do pregame.com does the official odds for the Associated Press, and the money isn't worth it there, right? But it's worth it for the exposure, the different things. I think that's a great mentality. The question is, though, as a fair to say, at least initially, an amateur writer, right? You hadn't written before professionally.
Oh, yeah. Totally amateur.
Not saying there's a problem with that at all. It's like, what banner is it under? Because the people who remember pre-internet, so I'm in my late 40s. I graduated college before the internet. How old were you in 2000?
Geez, what was I?
20 years ago.
19.
All right. So
18. Sorry.
All right. So you, I mean, 14, 15, 16, the internet was just kind of out there, 96, 97, but it wasn't a big deal, right?
No.
In your life?
No.
All right. But imagine the people 10 years younger than you. They don't remember pre-internet. Once those people are the majority, I don't think we're going to have the problem we have today. And that problem is people from my generation, older and even younger, 10 years or so, they see it in print and it means something. Even if it's digital, it's typefaced, it means something. Because back pre-internet, how did you get something in print? You didn't, right? I mean, people had their zines or whatever, but you know, if you got your name in the newspaper for having two multiple base hits in Little League, how exciting was that, right?
Yeah, I had that a couple of times when my name was mentioned in the newspaper, and I still have the clippings.
They had the bunt singles actually made the paper. So to me, once the kids today that understand, hey, everyone's print's nothing. I'm up on Twitter, it's in print. And it's going to be okay. But I think in this weird time that we remember the New York Times, whatever your political beliefs are, the Wall Street Journal, these were professionals that tried very hard to get the story right. They might have had their political biases, but they tried to get the story right. Today, there's so much competition for eyeballs. And I mean, this is something we, you know, you lament in radio. is the hot take culture. That, like, if you don't keep escalating, you get drowned out, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, I don't know how much of the hot takes people actually believe when they say it. So it's more so of, this is the approach you have to take to get noticed. And it's like pro wrestling, you know, like, you've got to add some flair to it in order to get the attention, because there's so many people competing for top billing on Twitter and Instagram or whatever. You've got to do something to try and stand out and be outlandish.
Yeah. And to me, the people who have made it, the Colin Cowherds of the world, the Doug Gottliebs, et cetera, those guys usually get conservative with it, because now you got something to lose, right? If you're just a voice in the choir, you want to get noticed. And once you're noticed, you want to get conservative, right? You don't want to be supplanted from your place. So it's in a way, I like that, because you can pick your voices, right? There's certain guys or gals, I guess mostly guys, if not all, that are going to do whatever for attention. To me, I just don't know if it works long term, because once your takes don't matter, then who cares, right? And one of the things we did last season, we're going to continue to do this season, and we're going to take our break here, is whenever someone says something particularly goofy, we're going to just extend them a public bet for like $50,000 on it. And, you know, we haven't been taken up yet. So, you know, as we like to say, cold cash over hot takes. So we've touched on the first NFL story, which is the idea that it looks good, according to the NFL, the season starting on time. When we come back, playoff time, it's been finalized today. Jonas and I have battled on it. This will be the ultimate battle. We disagree strongly on the new playoff format.
That's coming up next. First, I want to let you know, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone, AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, the NFL could look very, very different in the near future.
Oh, Jonas and I going crossfire debate style here in just a minute. Great day to join us. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audience has more than doubled in the last year alone. Thank you so much for the support. You know, right? You can listen. And the stats, did you see, Jonas, the one of the suits, Don Martin, big suit, he sent out an email today. I'm not sure if you're on that list, talking about just the amazing number of listeners with this, you know, from the self-quarantine onward.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome, and the numbers have been huge, and there's been a lot of people that have reached out and just sort of said thank you, because they need an escape from the doom and gloom and the bad news, and if they can get some sports in their life, even without sports, but just some conversations, people have been pretty happy.
Yeah, and you know, we'll have to deal with the and talk about all the replays we're seeing now, because I've often believed that, let's say there's a TV show like ER, right? How many people remember the first season of ER? Even if you watched right? You probably remember, you know, George Clooney. He looked pretty good, you know. And there was that nerdy guy, Noah something. Is if they said, okay, we are running, you know, 22 episodes, first season of ER, one a week, would that get better ratings than, let's say, the middle, not even the bottom of the pack for NBC or whatever, but let's say the middle of the pack? What do you think would get better ratings?
Oh, replays of a great show or a middle-of-the-road show now? Probably the replays. I think that's why networks bid on all those shows after they finish up.
But they never put them on the primetime. It's on Nick at Night or whatever. You know, now they're streaming. So, and it's a whole different universe, right, with the streaming.
Yeah, completely but different.
To me, what I always believed was during the normal first time you ran a show, there was all the hype, all the pomp and circumstance. And then later it was bought for syndication, as they call it still, I guess. And all of a sudden it was just, you know, thrown off to the side, wasn't even sure when it started. But think about HBO. Occasionally they'll do a Sopranos marathon or Wire marathon. And it seems like on Twitter, there's more people talking about that than most anything on a Saturday or Sunday if there's not a bunch of sports on. And to me, it's the idea that it's getting spotlight lit and there's a sense of community. People are watching it together. You know, you're watching something at 2:30 in the morning on syndication. You don't have that sense as much. So the game, I've been fascinated with it, seemingly the engagement. Now, I don't think this would last for like a year, but for this short time, I've been surprised and I thought it's been cool the amount of people engaged with the replays of the sporting events.
Yeah, I've always wondered if you were to pit a rerun of a really good NFL game from the last couple of years against a middle of the pack NBA game head to head, I think the NFL game would get better ratings.
Ooh, that's interesting. Because, I mean, the Pro Bowl gets better ratings, right? Than a lot of
true.
The big NBA games. So that's even worse.
Yes.
But you know what they've done with like things like replaying these games? Is imagine, let's think of a good example. Getting Shanahan and Jimmy G in, let's say, this year's Super Bowl. If they replayed that this Sunday, and they had Shanahan and Jimmy G watching the film, you know, watching the replay.
Totally agree.
I mean, to me, adding that perspective, almost like the NFL Films does with their stuff, where the sideline mics, can you augment it and give it another watch?
I was talking about this weekend. If you could go back, one of the great NFL Films presentations they put on, you remember the drive, the John Elway drive in Cleveland?
Yes.
That just gutted the Browns. They, years later, did an entire special to where they replayed the game and they got commentary from key players in the game as to what was happening in those moments. And it was fascinating because it was a different look to a game that you saw from a completely different vantage point years ago. It was awesome.
Did you like what the XFL did for the couple of weeks with the, you know, kind of reality show style going behind the scenes with? I would love to hear. Wouldn't you love? I would like to watch every halftime. I mean, if I could, Antonio Brown was on every team, yes or no?
I mean, I would watch it. I don't know if that would be green lit by anybody. I mean, one of the great Netflix shows, Last Chance U. What's so great about it is that it's junior college football, but completely inside access to not only the workouts, but the halftime speeches, all of that stuff. And it is some of the stuff you hear on there. You're shocked. If you don't come from a football world, you're shocked at how some of the communication is between those players, but it's an awesome watch.
Yeah. And last thing I'll say on it is just when you hear Belichick get picked up on the mic or he's mic'd, and you know, I'm fascinated. I think he's the one genius in coaching in the NFL. And he, like, when Stidham threw that interception, and he said, "Get him the F out of there." Like, how much is Stidham's rep, how much is his prospects this season affected by that one, not only the interception, but the idea that Belichick was done with him? But the more that I hear about, you know, from people on the periphery of New England in that program, you know, they really think Stidham's going to be the quarterback. So now how well is he going to play? I don't know. But, you know, I think Belichick wants to give him a try. So right now, the odds I've seen are around even money in some spots. I really like Stidham in that spot. So anyway, we got to do the weather, and then we got to talk NFL here. Right now, here in Las Vegas, on the Strip, 75 degrees, clear skies, the neon still off.
So, RJ, the NFL and their owners formally approved an expanded playoff field earlier today. This has been in the works for some time. It'll now go from 12 teams to 14 teams in the playoff, one team getting a first-round bye and home field advantage, and then you've got six other wildcard teams in each conference. That'll take effect this upcoming season in 2020.
Have you ever boxed, Jonas?
Like not professionally, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but you've been in a ring with gloves,
yes.
Headgear. Okay.
Yep.
Sometimes when we debate, I feel like I'm Ali against Floyd Patterson. And then I look, and you got this look on your face like, please don't hit me. So do you want to debate this? Because I find this egregious. I hate this. I hate it for a bunch of reasons. You like it. And I want to go one more round, but I want you engaged. I don't want you kind of like you take the first overhand and you're backing away. Do you believe you're right or not?
I believe that I like it.
Well, but you're saying for the game itself.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Extra playoff games. Yeah.
I'll let you make the case.
So I think anytime you can provide hope, you can get more people engaged for as long as possible. I think it's a good thing. It's why I think the onside kick they should get rid of and they should make it a 4th and 15 play, because I think it gives you actual hope as opposed to whatever the onside kick is morphed into with the current rules. You're giving an extra team and an extra fan base hope to try and make a run in the postseason. On top of that, you're giving a bunch of other teams who realize they're that much closer to potentially making the playoffs that much more hope. So if you're trying to present hope and get people engaged for as long as possible, I think it's awesome that we've expanded the playoffs to 14 teams.
Well, let me tell you, you said that a lot better, because that's an angle I heard the idea of, oh, there's going to be teams competing for the 7th spot. And my thought is, can they win from the 7th spot? Here's an amazing stat. This has been making the rounds, but, you know, I didn't believe it. McKenzie in pregame research double-checked it. No NFL team since the 2012 Ravens, so 7 champions since, has made the Super Bowl. So that means either the loser or the winner. So 14 teams, all 14 last 7 seasons have gotten a bye in the playoffs.
Wow.
Meaning they were the 1 seed or the 2 seed. 7 years, the number 3, 4, 5, 6, forget about it. We don't need you. But now we're saying the 7th has hope. You're right, there's hope, but if I said right now you can have the 2 7 seeds to win the Super Bowl, what odds would you take to bet on them? Would you
betting,
take 5-1?
I'm not betting the 7 seeds to win the Super Bowl.
Well, what about the hope you're talking about?
But it's like Vegas. When you sit down at a slot machine, the odds are you're not going to strike it rich on the progressives, but you still play because there's that glimmer of hope, and that's all the NFL is doing here.
Yeah,
these 7 seeds don't have a shot.
You're doing. It's a good debate. So here's what I'll say. Here's why I don't like it. One, it's interesting that you talk about hope, because the more that you expand hope, the more you invalidate or make less important everything that came before it. So, like, you ever play a basketball game where someone says, all right, we're down 7, let's make a half-court shot, a 6-pointer, you know,
right,
that kind of stuff?
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, it's letting someone come back in. Like, you get the ball, you keep getting the ball if you score. You've seen things like, I can't remember where I've seen that, but I've seen that. Not make it, take it in basketball. I mean, like in football, the idea that, hey, if someone's really, if they're down by more than 10 in the 4th quarter, let them keep the ball. I've heard that before. It's like, well, you just make, yeah, I get you want to orchestrate close games at the end, but do you want to make it where the season, I mean, look at the NBA. The NBA is the natural extension of more hope. And what do you get? You get a bunch of teams making the playoffs that they debate, is it worth it or should they go in the lottery? And, I mean, I don't think there's been an NBA champion. Well, I mean, has there been an NBA champion worse than a 3?
I think so. I know the last team I can remember getting that was lower than a 3 was 2010. The Celtics were a 4 seed and got to the finals. They lost in game 7 to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think who was the lowest seed to win a title.
I mean, but in a decade now, we're saying no, that we could lop off the first round of the playoffs and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
So I think the 7th seed has a better chance in the NFL than the 8th seed in the NBA. Because it's best of 7, all the different things. But in general, what I think you're going to get, because now you've taken, I would rather them have added, I haven't thought about the way it would work, more playoff teams and kept more buys. Because to me, if you cut in half the number of buys, then you're going to cut significantly the teams that feel or are competitive for a buy. And now the question is, what happened in this NBA season that we talked about? Is the one seeds were kind of locked up or close, and there was a lot of teams between 3 and 6, 7 even, that weren't really playing for much. Yeah, they wanted to keep moving up, wanted home court, but the intensity just wasn't there as if they were playing for the playoff lives. Don't you agree? And let's think quickly about who is going to benefit here. So the one seed, it's going to be the same. They'll be the only buy, but effectively they'll have to win 3 games to win it. The 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed are about the same, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Almost the same. What happens is the 7th seed obviously goes from 0 to something, and then the 2 is the one that suffers. This is all, the 2 pretty much is losing it all, and the 7 is gaining it all. To me, I think you're going to have, especially if you have one runaway team, which you have sometimes, I think we might be 3-4 games at the end of the year where these teams, does it really matter as much as it should? I think you're going to have, let me ask you this. Do you agree? Yes, there's more teams that's going to be competing for the 7, but there'll be more playoff teams that really don't have a motivation to care about their seeding.
Yes, and that's why I like this extra team in each conference in the playoffs, but I don't like the extra game in the regular season because I think that gives them more room to be able to rest players, load management, all of that. I've also thought about this. I think this is going to save a lot of coaches' jobs because there's not a lot of coaches who get fired after making the playoffs. I can think of, you know, Malarkey was the last one that I can think of off the top of my head. But I think a coach who slips into the 7 spot, now all of a sudden, if you're an organization, can you fire that coach even though they had no real chance at winning a playoff game? Mm-hmm. So I do think there's going to be some changes.
Now, here is my final point on it, which is, as a Steeler fan, it's amazing that I don't like this, and it must show you how much I don't like it. The Pittsburgh Steelers would have made the playoffs all 10 of the last 10 seasons. But 4 times, I think it was, they would have been the 7th seed.
It would have been Duck Hodges versus Patrick Mahomes in the first round.
I tell you this, with Big Ben back in the day, that was the 7th seed you didn't want to see. Let me tell you that much. I want to talk about how good the battle between Trubisky and Foles is going to be. I think you're going to be surprised.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue our look at the NFL this offseason. Want to let you know we are brought to you by My Computer Career. Stop waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, it's not sitting well with me that I didn't crush you in that debate. So let me ask you a question. Do you want the NFL to be more like the NBA? Do you agree this is a move that moves the NFL towards the NBA-type playoff system? A lot of teams are in. Not a lot of teams have a chance to win it.
No, because it's a one and done.
So it makes it even – so you're saying the chance of someone getting on a run is better, which is really tantamount to saying the chance of someone that doesn't deserve it is going to win it.
I mean, I think I'm all about fairness in the world of sports.
Well, apparently not, because you want people to compete for the title that shouldn't be competing.
I mean, I want everybody to have a fair shot.
Exactly. What about that 2 seed that worked so hard? By the way, I'm going to read to you, since 2013, the seeds of the Super Bowl teams. All right, 13, 1-1. 14, 1-1. 15, 1-1. 16, 1-2. 17, 1-1. 18, 2-2. 19, 1-2. Yeah. The seventh, I think, has a heck of a chance, Jones. So you just want to make it. We're the two seed that actually has made four of the 14 slots in the last seven seasons. You're going to make it so much harder for those overachieving twos. And the laggard, the guy that just barely got his GED, the seventh seed, gets to go to college.
This is what I want. I want in January, I want back-to-back triple headers Saturday and Sunday of NFL playoff football. That's what I want.
You know what's funny? It's like you got a weird version of Schadenfreude, the German term for enjoying the pain in others. You like painful situations.
You don't
like people in pain. You like painful situations.
Absolutely. I do.
At least he admits it. All right. So we already said we're going to do it. Let's take our last commercial break. But I would have to say this, Jonas. I'm going to let you grade if I'm right about this little, as they call it, a tease. Is I'm going to tell you something about Nick Foles and Trubisky that you're going to say, OMG. We'll see.
That tease was so good that it was brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today. More than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox. He's RJ Bell. And this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, you think there's a quarterback battle maybe not getting as much discussion as it needs to in the NFC?
Well, I think any discussion is too much. But the stats are so amazing. Trubisky versus Foles. Now, what people would say, what I might say in a given circumstance would be, wait a minute. Foles was ascertained to be good enough for a major contract. Multiple years, tens of millions of dollars for Jacksonville. What's happened in the interim? What's happened since that contract, what new information would cause us to smartly reevaluate? Well, he got hurt after eight passes, I think it was early. His QBR was amazing, actually, after those eight, but he got hurt, came back. Did he come back too early? I don't know. Was there turmoil in Jacksonville in the locker room? Obviously, right? Think what happened after the season. And this whole Minshew thing, I don't know. But I know that Foles played very poorly for a handful of games after. But the question is, you obviously forget the first seven or eight passes. Jonas, as a fan, if I said, hey, this guy was worth this much money, 50 mil or whatever, and he has had 2.5 bad games since, how much are you downgrading him?
I am not as high on Foles.
But that's a difference. What I'm saying is you weren't as high on Foles when Jacksonville signed him either, right?
Right. I would downgrade him a little bit. I think there was an opportunity there. And physically, and then when he did come back, he couldn't beat out a six-round pick.
He beat him out. Then he didn't play well. And listen, I'm not saying Nick Foles is the best quarterback in the NFL. But if you look at Trubisky, he's about the same. And this is what's amazing. You look at 17, 18, 19, and this is Trubisky's 3 years in the league. And you look at the passer rating, because Foles didn't have enough attempts for QBR. In 2017, his passer rating was right around an 80. And Trubisky was 78, so within 2 points.
Yeah.
In 2018, passer rating was a 96. And Trubisky was a 95. And in 2019, 84 for Foles, 83 for Trubisky. So not only is the average so close between these two, but literally for three seasons, they were within two passer points. I mean, I'm going to figure the odds out for tomorrow. The odds are going to be somewhere around 1 million to 1 of that happening.
And that's why I was surprised when the odds came out of who's going to be the week one starter for the Bears, that Foles was as much of a favorite. I think you guys talked
like
about
minus 160 or 7.
Yeah, something like, I was surprised. I thought that's, I would bet Trubisky in that case.
Well, here's the question. They obviously are trying to make it so Trubisky has the best chance to have a good fourth season, because that was a big investment they made in him.
Yeah.
What is the best chance? Is it bench him early and let him sit and watch, or let him have some confidence, and if he really fails, you go to the backup? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. The odds or the stats tell us it's pretty much a coin flip who's going to be the better quarterback.
Yeah, and I think this has got the optics of the Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill situation last year.
Well, that worked out pretty well for Tennessee. And the last thing I would quickly say is this. It makes sense the Bears are trying so hard with Trubisky because, again, having a rookie quarterback do well is the key to success.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are Straight Out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, the iHeartRadio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!